Hey, Typhoid Robert.
Hey, Lucinda. How are you? Oh, my gosh. Just recovering. Just recovering. Still, like, something in the upper respiratory.
Ew.
I know. But, first of all, I've taken out, like, 3 coworkers, which has not been fun. And from what I've heard from everyone else, this stuff has been going around.
Great. I'm so glad I'm in a podcast studio with you right now.
Right? Small spaces. Mm. Intimate.
And yet you have a sunburn. Did you go anywhere this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't stop my life. You know, I had to keep on keeping on. So what? 2 weekends ago, I was down for the count, out like a light, 2.5 days in bed. This past week, it was Memorial Day weekend. It was the kickoff of summer. It was Cape May for the weekend. It was nice.
Pass it on to everyone else, apparently.
Hopefully not.
Okay, you went to Cape May. Do you want to know what I got up to?
Well, yes.
The stuff I got up to was rather adorable.
Yeah?
I brought Petit Garçon to ballet, and then we took him to get measured for his little cello, because he's taking cello classes.
Excellent.
I mean, it couldn't have been cuter.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it could have. It could have been the baby doing it. Well,
aggressive, but sure. Perfect.
Total cello prodigy.
We're taking it on. I mean, he's taking a lot on. These are a lot of hobbies.
He starts swim tomorrow. That's a life skill, though.
Yes.
Real quick, do you want to talk about a recent art crime?
Oh, don't I? Huh. So, the article is coming out of the Miami New Times, right?
Actually, it was from April, but I'm still shocked by it.
Still, fine art fraud forgery, Leslie Roberts.
This is a man, not a woman. I feel the need to distinguish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Horrible gentleman, allegedly. I have to say alleged.
Allegedly.
Had works including likes of Liechtenstein.
Warhols,
all of the go-to that you want on your wall, he was selling them all fakes. Fakes!
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Went even as far to say that he was already in connections with someone from the Warhol Foundation. Rude. And that they were selling Warhols on a discount.
Excuse me?
Red flags. Red flags all around. Then they bring the pieces of art to Christie's to get appraised. Christie's is like, nope, not the painting.
Oh, but it gets worse.
It does. He then comes back and brings in art experts from an art consulting firm.
Phillips,
highly,
quote unquote.
Yes. Highly, highly known to the art world.
International.
And to find out, he faked their employment to say that they were still real. He's tripling down on these paintings.
And it's not the first time this son of a bitch has gotten in trouble for this.
And I think this does go back to the fact, though, that when collecting your art, you really just need to enjoy the piece yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just put stuff on your walls that you love.
Allegedly. Okay, on to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerland.
Hello, hello.
And today, we have Cheryl from I Wish to Say. We're so happy to have you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled to be here.
Excellent, excellent. Cheryl, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of share your own true Hollywood story?
Well, let's see where to begin. My name's Cheryl Oering. I am an artist. I make work using typewriters. And for the last 21 years, I have been traveling around the country, inviting people to dictate a postcard to the U.S. president, whoever that might be.
Wow.
Yeah, that started back in 2004. So you can imagine, you know, I've heard a lot. Yeah. I've typed a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, it started in a very different time. I started it at the height of the Iraq War, actually, when people were feeling disconnected from the leadership at the time and feeling like they maybe weren't being heard. And I started it with this goal of lifting up everyday people's voices. And some of that inspiration was also due to my work in journalism. That was my first career, actually, in newspapers, and seeing how women and people of color weren't on the front pages as much as, right, as you might think they would be or want them to be. And I started noticing that, you know, 3 decades ago. Mm-hmm. And with this project, I set out to listen to everybody and to hear what everyone has to say and to lift up everybody's voices equally and to give everyone just a chance to speak out.
And through that, you know, through that time, how do you then create that art, right? Like, are you putting that on paper, and then are you sending out those postcards?
Oh, yes.
Are you keeping those postcards?
So some details. Yes. I type everything in duplicate, okay, using carbon paper. So, you know, the CC,
great,
from,
yes,
carbon paper. I can still get it. It's a little bit hard, but I can still find it. So I type them on a blank index card with a carbon copy. And the person who dictates the message sends it off to the White House. I give it to them all stamped, addressed, and ready to send off, like,
wow,
a postcard. And I keep a carbon copy. And so that then becomes the material for exhibitions, books, different types of artwork that I make with the content of the things that I type.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
I've done a series of, well, several series of prints, actually, where I basically highlight some key phrases from things that people said, almost like a headline, almost like a newspaper headline. And then that becomes a print. You can see some of those actually right now at the National Liberty Museum here in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, I have so many questions. first of all, stamps are getting way expensive.
That's, oh my gosh, I know.
So
that's
please,
very true.
Who
that's
is underwriting true. These stamps?
That is very true. And then we wonder about the post office.
Right, yes. So true. actually, sending postage to or any letter to the White House should be free. Just saying it.
Yeah, I agree. That would be nice.
To any government official should be free. Are you also, do you have a unique postcard that you use? Do you use special postcards?
Oh, well, I use basically a blank index card, just like a white unlined,
gotcha,
index card.
Okay.
Because if it's thicker, it wouldn't fit into the typewriter, especially not with the copy,
gotcha,
the carbon copy. So
okay,
as it is, you know, I'm putting these two index cards with the carbon paper into the typewriter, and that's about the max thickness that the,
right,
typewriter can take.
Yes.
Now, one other thing that's really great about Philadelphia is that there is a typewriter repair shop called Philly Typewriter. I don't know if y'all know about this.
No, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so one other thing. I moved to Philadelphia.
Wait. Somebody told me about this. Is this in the Bach Building?
It, near there. It's in, it's on Passyunk Avenue.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So I moved to Philadelphia in early 2023, and I already knew that Philly Typewriter was here. We had exchanged some emails, and so, you know, one of my very first exciting visits in Philadelphia was to Philly Typewriter. And they're just amazing, and they've, you know, being in the same city, given the work that I do, it's been really, you know, important having them here, and
wow,
they've been great friends and repaired my typewriters. It's hard to find these days.
It's,
oh,
very,
yes,
niche.
Yes. It's, they're not a lot, you know, the people typically are older and they're retiring out of the field, and there's just not maybe so much demand nationally. So it's, you know, it's hard to find. So fantastic that they're here.
Oh my gosh. Going back to your original professional career in journalism, mm-hmm, can you elaborate a little bit more on that and what brought you to journalism to begin with?
Oh, sure. Well, that goes back in time to when I was at the University of Colorado And I didn't exactly know what I was going to study when I went to college. I was one of those students who was interested in so many different things. And, you know, one day it was like religious studies. One day it was psychology. One day it was, yes. I was like, maybe I'll go to med school. Yes. And then I discovered the student newspaper. And what I loved about journalism, well, there were two things. One was that I could learn a lot about many different things. Mm-hmm. And the other one was that I really felt like I could make a difference, that journalists were the watchdogs of the government. Mm-hmm. We see that, how important that is right now, yes. today. But back then I was covering the student government, you know, at University of Colorado, and felt like it was an important thing to do.
So what inspired you to pursue public art?
It was an evolution. I went to Berlin on a journalism fellowship, and I was at the time working at the San Francisco Chronicle on the city desk as an editor. And the fellowship was 2 months, but I took a 6-month leave. And then at the end of that 6 months, I called my editor and quit. I didn't go back. I just stayed in Berlin.
Right.
And, you know, I started finding typewriters. So the typewriter thing goes back to Berlin. It goes before the I Wish to Say project. So in Berlin, I started seeing typewriters, and I also discovered this place that became very important to me. It was this place called Babelplatz, which is the site of the Nazi book burning.
Okay.
And when I happened upon that place, it just did something to me. You know, mm-hmm. it was like thinking about what had happened there, reading about the history. The students in the university across the street in Humboldt University took the books out of the library and burned them, you know, at the beginning of the Nazi period. It was really sort of unthinkable. So I had this idea to make this work that I eventually called Writer's Block, where I collected hundreds of typewriters, more than 600 typewriters.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and put them in these sculptural cages made out of construction rebar. And that was a material that I saw all over the landscape of Berlin because the city was being rebuilt at that time, lots of construction. And so I made that work. I'm sort of fast-forwarding, but it was an incredible process.
Yes.
I was there. I had no money. I spoke very broken German. Here it was like, you know, American girl who kind of spoke some German from her college German classes, but not that much. And just tried to figure out, you know, how I could make this really large piece of public art. And you did it through pure determination and will and a lot of maybe, I didn't know how to do it. It was like one step at a time, just trying to figure it out. And it was a pretty amazing experience to do that. And then after it was in Berlin, it traveled a bit. I went to Budapest and to the Boston Public Library and to the New York Public Library. And then later to some other universities around the country. And it's actually here in Philadelphia right now in storage.
No way.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a permanent home for this. So this work, you know, I made it decades ago in Berlin. It's never felt more timely, though, unfortunately.
Yes. Very relevant.
All the book banning that's happening around the country right now makes it feel really, really relevant and important. I would like to find maybe libraries, but I'm open to other locations around the country that would take on these sculptures. I have 18 of them, and each one is about 3 cubic feet. So like 3 by 3 by 3, filled with about 25 typewriters. They're relatively easy to move. They weigh about 750 pounds. Yeah, just not exactly a living room art. So that actually started me onto a whole new path. But for a while, I was still doing journalism to make my living. And then at some point, I went back to graduate school and got a degree in art and MFA and then started working in academia. So,
where did you go to school?
University of California in San Diego. I just like to go to very distant places.
Yes.
I get it.
You know, San Diego, Berlin, I don't know. I was in Detroit for a while. Yeah, I've moved around a lot.
How would you describe I Wish to Say to someone who has not seen or heard of it? Mm-hmm. And what is the inspiration behind it?
So with I Wish to Say, I get dressed up like a 1960s secretary. I usually have a big hairdo and some really fun, colorful costume jewelry, often sort of flowers or something like that. And then I'm usually wearing something red, white, or blue, a suit, or nice office dress. And I'm sitting at a desk with a manual typewriter. And I have some supplies, some rubber stamps, the carbon paper, camera. I usually ask people if I could take their picture. And then someone might come up to me and I'll say, if I were the president, what would you wish to say to me? And then I'll type up their answers. And sometimes there's a bit of a conversation. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. people know, sometimes people don't know. It really, you know, depends on the context. I do a lot of work on university campuses and in places like libraries. So sometimes with students. Here I worked with the amazing students at the Revolution School. So high school students dictated their messages starting last spring, about a year ago. And then the students also worked with some of the printmaking students at University of the Arts, which is where I was working, and they printed little zines with their messages and then distributed them throughout Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
So that was really special. And then the students from Revolution School joined me as typists. So the high school students wanted to learn how to type.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and they came out with me twice, once at the Kimmel Center and once at the Free Library, and joined me as typists.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
As kind of a side question, mm-hmm. has anyone from the White House ever reached out?
I have never gotten contacted by the White House.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because at one point I was on ABC News and they called the White House and got a no comment. But when people send
administration that was?
That was a long time ago. That was in the George Bush White House.
W.
Yeah. Yes. But people send their postcards. It's up to them if they put their name on it. I don't put my name on it. Probably I wouldn't hear, although, you know, I've typed more than 5,000 messages and I've done a book and exhibitions. So probably if they wanted to figure out who was typing,
yes.
they would be able to figure it out.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
I mean, is there nobody there that just spots a trend?
Right.
You would think.
I know. I've been doing this for a long time. And so one has to ask oneself, why am I continuing to do this or what's the meaning? And I will say a couple things about that. Last fall, there was a young person who came up to my desk and a recent college graduate. And after she dictated her message, she said, you know, nobody's ever listened to me like that before. You know, this young woman telling me that. And that I've heard multiple times, unfortunately, especially among students.
Yeah.
And I think that this project really does a lot to encourage people to believe in what they say, mm-hmm. to like have a say, and then also to think about it and to believe in it. And I see it as maybe a first step, very small first step.
For them, I wonder how many got a response themselves.
Right. They might not have gotten a response because if they sent it as a postcard, they may or may not have put their return address. They mm-hmm. might have just tossed it in the mail. But I do think that just feeling listened to these days is so important. And also when I've been in conversation with students at a couple different universities, they mention that when you're on social media, you have all these people commenting, but you're not really in conversation. And maybe you're afraid to say something because you don't want to hear what comments might be.
Right.
But with this, it's just you. I've had some great responses this year that have really kept me going and made me feel like it's important. And then, you know, I've also thought back to the time 2004 when the project started. Of course, there were no social media, no Facebook, no Instagram, all that kind of stuff. And so it's really changed our world and how we function. And I think there's something really special about the way the typewriter forces people to slow down a little bit mm-hmm. and have this one-on-one conversation with me as the typist. It's taken on some sort of deeper meaning, I think.
Yeah. Has social media changed your art at all?
Well, you know, I am posting things on social media, and I ask for people's permission to post it. And of course, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't a thing.
Right.
So it's changed it in that sense. I think the way it's changed it is more like the cell phone itself makes it harder and harder to interact with people in public space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's become more important for this project to work with partner organizations that, for instance, let people know ahead of time and there's some expectation that I'll be there, versus at the very beginning, I would just show up at Bryant Park in New York and set up with my typewriter and people would stop and talk to me. But that's hard now. I think I don't
really?
Get it. Yeah, I don't get as many people who just stop and talk.
Wow.
It depends where I am.
Yes.
It really depends, because I was in Chicago last summer while the Democratic National Convention was happening. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, people thinking about politics out there, you know, enjoying it in some way, the convention. So there I did have a really good response, just setting up on the street without much notice. But that's not always the case. And I think it does have something to do with people just being attached to their phones and, right. and not, you know, taking a break to talk to some strange yes. woman with a typewriter. yes.
So where can people find you online?
Either on my website, which is CherylOring.org, or my other one, which is called IWishToSay.org. And then same on Instagram, Cheryl Oring or I Wish to Say.
Can you spell Oring?
Oh, yeah. And it's Cheryl with an S, S-H-E-R-Y-L, and O-R-I-N-G.
We're going to close out with some rapid-fire questions okay. for you. What is your favorite beverage at the moment?
Jamaica.
What's your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
Chinatown.
If you could have any piece of art in your home, no limitations, what would it be?
That is a hard one. I like to have art around me by people who I know and, you know, I have a special connection to. So I have art by former students and artists who I've done residencies with or something. But there is an artist who was a student at University of North Carolina in Greensboro when I was teaching there. Her name's Carmen Neely. She's now in Chicago, and she's doing great, and I absolutely love her paintings. They're just gorgeous.
Excellent.
Really, really beautiful. So Carmen Neely.
We're going to share her in the show notes.
Okay.
Excellent.
Great.
I'm going to also add that to the artists that people are sleeping on. The Philadelphia art scene in one word.
Spunky.
Spunky. Nice. Nice.
Wait, the artists that people are... Did you ask me that question?
I did not.
Oh.
If there's another one.
Oh, there's another one.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Because Carmen's in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not here.
Then which Philadelphia artist is the city sleeping on?
I thought about that question. I think it's Jessie Mochran. I don't know if y'all know Jessie. She shows all over internationally in New York and LA, but she moved to Philly, I think, a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure... The city is aware of that. So Jessie Mochran, she's amazing.
I found her on Instagram. She's going to get linked.
Cheesesteaks with Wiz or without?
Wiz. With.
Are you a Carrie, Charlotte, Miranda, or Samantha?
Not Charlotte, but a mix of all the rest.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for your time today and joining with us at Philly Has Heart.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. It was really fun talking to you.
Lucinda.
Hey, hey.
All right. So what are we getting into this weekend?
I'm going to a concert, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go see the Kooks on Friday.
Very nice. Do you remember them? Yes.
I saw them back in 2011 okay. at the 930 Club in D.C. Also, Vampire Weekend is in town.
Oh, I know.
This weekend.
I know. Pricey.
Pricey. I think it would be worth it. I wish I were going
to
that instead.
So good. So good.
Such a Sophie's choice for the millennial.
Oh, yes, definitely. There's going to be a lot of those this summer, I think.
Yeah.
It's just a
nostalgia.
Yes, it's coming back. Mm. It's coming back.
I'm also going to a very exclusive performance. My oldest dance showcase is this weekend. Tickets were capped at 2 per person.
Wow.
Because he's feeling a little stage fright.
Yeah.
I told him if he didn't like it, he doesn't have to do it next year. He just has to give it a shot this year. Or he has to finish out the year this year. And he has to finish the summer because I already prepaid for that.
Yep. Well, encouragement. Mm-hmm. Okay. Be great.
What are you into?
So it's finally the Red Rose Farm benefit weekend. Not sure about weather yet, but hopefully it goes off without a hitch on Thursday. That'll be the benefit night for the Philadelphia Ballet Red Rose Farm performance. Tickets, I believe, are still on sale. And then rain date is Friday, so we'll shift if we have to. Saturday is picnic day. So if you have any free time on Saturday and you want to go out and see some ballet on a beautiful lawn and enjoy a nice picnic, there's still tickets available for the Saturday event as well. If it rains on Saturday, then they'll shift it to Sunday.
Love a contingency plan.
You know it.
We have some more stuff for this weekend. John Poblador Chapel of Color is opening on June 3rd at Bridget Mayer Gallery. Cecilia Paredes, By My Side or Back of Me is ongoing at the Print Center. Chris RWK Show is ongoing at Works on Paper Gallery. That's going to be going for another 2 weeks.
Buy your tickets for the Philadelphia Theater Company production of Small Ball. Let's support the PTC in the wake of the cancellation of their NEA grant.
We have more ballet for your calendar. Not only are tickets of Ballet X's summer series on sale for July 16th through the 20th, but the company also has a June 5th stop at Longwood Gardens and will be popping up June 12th at Dilworth Park.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.
Do you have a favorite typewriter?
Wait, you know how difficult that is? Because I have about 150 typewriters that are not in the sculptures. Like, in the sculptures, there's about 650.
Right. Yes.
But I have about 150 other
of
typewriters.
Your own.
Yeah, of my own. But I've been traveling around this year with a little tiny princess typewriter. That's the model. And it's from Germany. It's in a little teeny case. It's very compact and nice. Easy to travel with. So I do love my princess. And I have an Olivetti Valentine typewriter. This is one that's in MoMA, in the design section.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful red typewriter. And I really like my Erica typewriters, which are German models as well. German typewriters are
the
really
typewriters
amazing.
I
They're
have.
Pretty amazing.
Okay.